Well, please do keep that passage open in front of you. There was an old sea captain who lived in Zanzibar. He used to fire off his cannon at midday each day. So reliable was he that all the people in the town used to set their watches and clocks by his cannon. To make sure they had exactly the right time each day during his regular morning walk, the captain would pass this clocksmith and check his watch by the principal clock in the shop window. Meanwhile, the watchmaker made sure that his clock always told the right time by making sure that he set his principal clock by the cannon the sea captain fired without fail at 12 noon each day. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now imagine I just stop there. That's all you got. I wonder what your reaction would be. That was the end of the sermon. Some might think, well, we'll get out of here quite quickly tonight. But I imagine some of you would feel puzzled, frustrated. What's he talking about? Shortchanged? Some even annoyed. I imagine that is how people reacted when they heard Jesus' parables. See, because we've often heard them and have been taught them, know what they mean, we think of them as clever stories and as great methods of communication. But I suspect the first people who heard them were more often than not puzzled and frustrated and said, for crying out loud, why can't he say clearly what he means? Certainly, that is the question that the disciples asked Jesus in verse 10. He told them the parable. When they're on their own, what's the question they ask? Why do you speak to the people in parables? But when they heard the parable, that's what they said. Why do you speak to the people in parables? And that's the question we're going to be answering from the passage this evening. And it's really important for us to address as we begin a series in Matthew chapter 13, because this chapter is packed full of parables. So if you don't know why Jesus spoke in them, well, we'll be going off on the wrong route, won't we? So let's pray and ask God to help us as we come to look at this passage, not to be distracted by what we've just been thinking about with Andy. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we've just read how the evil one is active wherever your word is proclaimed to snatch the word away from those who hear it. Please, again, protect us and bind the evil one from us this evening and give us hearts that long not only to hear but to understand your word, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So why did Jesus speak in parables? Well, I think the passage before us gives us three reasons. And the first reason is this. I'm afraid I've got no overheads, so for those of you who are taking notes, listen. I'm only going to say it once. Jesus spoke in parables to reflect the secret nature of the coming of God's kingdom. I'll be kind, I'll repeat it. He spoke in parables to reflect the secret nature of the coming of God's kingdom. Now, in verse 11, notice how Jesus speaks of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there's something unexpected. There's something secret. There's something hidden about the kingdom of God. And in the parable of the sower, in fact, in all the parables of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is explaining what is secret, what is strange, what is, quite clearly, what is odd about this kingdom. See, when Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, he's using a shorthand to summarize the promises of the Old Testament. And we had one such example as our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 60. The glory days in Israel's history were under the rules of Kings David and Solomon. But sadly, those glory days didn't last. Tragically, God's people didn't keep believing and trusting in the God who had called them to himself and established them in the land. And so they came under God's judgment. And gradually, they had their land taken away from them until they were carted off into exile. Nevertheless, through prophets like Isaiah, God promised that his rule of his people would be re-established. And those promises were heady stuff. Look, let me read what Isaiah 60 said. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is economic and religious revival. Everybody coming and bringing their gifts and wealth and praising the Lord. So when both John the Baptist and Jesus started preaching, "Repent, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near." Well, chaps, this is it. It's glory days are coming. No more persecution. No more Romans in our country. No more poverty. No more relatives being killed and temple being defiled. No more sickness. Instead, it's glory and success and power. And that excitement was exasperated by Jesus' miracles. But it's all very odd. Jesus doesn't go marching into Jerusalem. He doesn't seek to lead a popular uprising against the Romans. Instead, he sticks around in the backwater of Galilee and spends his time teaching about God. And instead of galvanizing the Jews, he ends up having constant run-ins with the religious establishment. And so through these parables, Jesus explains to the crowds gathered around him the nature of the kingdom which he is bringing in. And from the parable of the sower, we learn that the kingdom is going to come about through a message. See that when he gives the explanation? Listen, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom. It's a bit of an anticlimax, given Isaiah chapter 60. What is more, says Jesus, most of this message will be wasted. In other words, there will be those who hear Christian truth. They may come along to church. They may come along to a meeting where the gospel is clearly explained, but they don't get it. Seems all very strange to them. And the devil quickly takes away the seed of the gospel that was sown in them. It's gone. It has no effect on them whatsoever. And then there are those who hear. Well, these folk are just initially really excited about what they hear. They come along and they really get involved. They come along on a Christianity Explore course or a summer camp. And they're initially full of it. They come back and they get baptized. And everyone is rejoicing in this new Christian convert. But after a while, the constant stick that they get from their unbelieving family and friends has its effect. And they suddenly stop coming to church or the youth group and they fall away completely. And there are those. They seem to be established believers. They were brought up in a Christian home. They had been members of a church for many years, sitting under good gospel teaching. But then something happens. They get distracted by friends who have no interest in Christian things. Well, they become preoccupied with revising for important exams, so they just They just stop coming to church. They just get out of the habit. Or their career begins to take over and the gospel gets choked. Sadly, often happens to clergymen or women. They get distracted by all the worries and pressures of ministry, or by desires for preferment. They want to be a bishop or something. So they get distracted from spending any serious time in the Word of God, and so eventually it loses its effect on them. Their lives and ministries become unfruitful. And in some cases, they can be led away from Christ altogether. And this is what happens. And you'll be aware of it, or potential, or those sorts of things around us. And it seems so ineffective, so wasteful, so discouraging. And the temptation is to try and bring about the kingdom of God through other more impressive ways. So all the energy and time and thought goes into good administration or an exciting building project or laying on a kind of slick meetings with excellent music and multimedia. And those things have their place, but none of them are essential. No, the essential component without which the kingdom of God cannot grow is the preaching of the gospel. Because despite all the waste that takes place when the gospel is proclaimed, some falls on good soil, and there is a great harvest. 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. I think a bumper harvest is... Have we got any... We need Peter Headington here. Any farmers around? No. I think a 30-fold harvest is a bumper harvest. Jesus says 100, 60, even 30 times what we're saying. And actually, we will be aware of that effect in some of us in our own lives. We've seen it in that effect in the lives of other Christians. They might have had a pretty wobbly start at first, but actually, over time, you've seen these people flourish and grow and just become established in a ministry and full of confidence. Or you've seen it in churches of which you've been a part. But back in Jesus' day, it must have seemed all very strange. The Jews had these wonderful promises about the kingdom of God. And Jesus comes along announcing the arrival of God's kingdom, but then says, sorry guys, I'm just going to talk. And most of my words, well, they'll be wasted. Afraid there's no wealth, no camels, no incense, no getting rid of the Romans. Nonetheless, the kingdom of heaven is coming. But if that's the case, surely that is even more reason for Jesus to speak plainly. And so why did he speak to the crowds with these obscure stories? And so we come to the second reason why Jesus spoke in parables. If the first reason was to reflect the hidden nature of the coming of God's kingdom, the second reason was to confirm the hard-hearted in their unbelief. So the reason why Jesus spoke in parables was to confirm hard-hearted people in their unbelief. This is what those strange verses 11 to 15 are all about. And they are very strange, so I'm going to read them again. Read them with me, okay? Sorry, I'll read them, you follow. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Why? For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their other eyes. Up their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, hear with their might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. See, Jesus is speaking about people who literally have a fat heart, heavy ears, and closed eyes. Now, Jesus is quoting, as you can see from the footnote, and he actually says, from the prophet Isaiah, who was preaching to the people of Israel 700 years before Christ, all right? And Isaiah himself was looking back to what had happened since the times of David. So we're looking here at a period of 1,000 years. And what Jesus is saying is that basically for the last 1,000 years, God's people had basically stopped listening to the truth of God's word. They had just shut it out. God had sent prophet after prophet. He had raised up amongst them wise men like Daniel and great Bible teachers like Ezra. But by and large, they hadn't listened. And I suspect they hadn't listened for the same reasons that people don't listen today. They thought that they knew what was being said anyway. I've heard it all before. No need for me to go to church. I know what they're going to say. Or maybe because it was just inconvenient. I've just got so many other things to do. Or perhaps they were just too busy to make the time. Or perhaps they didn't like what they heard. And so they just decided to shut out God's message. And eventually God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his own son, the second person of the Trinity. Surely they would listen to him. But no. We read in the previous chapter, chapter 12, verse 14, that they plotted to kill him. They just didn't want to listen. And in the end, God's patience runs out. And when God's patience runs out, he punishes. And one of the most common things he does is to leave people to follow their own desires. You don't want to listen? Okay, I will get out of the picture. You don't want to understand? Well, then I'll make sure that you don't. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven will not be given to you. And says Jesus, whatever understanding has been given to you will be taken away. Now, I know that sounds hard, but God's people cannot disregard God's word without eventually suffering the consequences. That is what happened to Israel. And God takes no delight in punishing them this way. So in Luke's gospel, we find Jesus crying out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." But when God's patience runs out and God's judgment comes in, people are confirmed in their unbelief. And so today, there are those who at one time knew the gospel, but for whatever reason, they stopped listening to the gospel and they kept on doing that. And God has confirmed them in their unbelief, so they can no longer appreciate the message of the cross. That at one time they apparently held dear. It happens. But there is yet another purpose why Jesus spoke in parables. And that was to give understanding to those who seek after the truth. To give understanding to those who seek after the truth. Now, you see, there is this other group of people in the chapter, and they are the disciples of Jesus. And verse 10, they ask the question, why? Why do you speak in parables? And if you turn over the page, verse 36, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And to these people, Jesus longs to give understanding. That is why he says, actually, in verse 9, doesn't he? Look, after he said the parable, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if you've got ears, listen. To those who genuinely seek understanding, Jesus gives it to them. And notice verse 23, that we do need to understand. Verse 23 is very striking. See, we might expect verse 23 to say, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and, well, we might say believes it, wouldn't we? But actually, that's not what Jesus said. Who hears the word and understands it. Faith comes not just by hearing the word of God, but by understanding it. The seed that fell on the path represented people who heard the word but did not understand. And it's because they did not understand that the evil one was able to take that word away. It is the understanding of God's word that is required. And it is the mark of Jesus' disciples that they seek to understand. That they ask questions. That when they're muddled, they seek explanations. That they cry out to Jesus when they're in perplexity, as we are at the moment. Why? We don't understand. What's going on? And therefore they cry out to him. And to those people, the parables of Jesus become brilliant means of communication. And so for the last 2,000 years, God's people have taken these stories to their heart and have been nourished by them. Because once you understand their meaning, you don't forget them, do you? So in many ways, the parables of Jesus act in a similar fashion to those sliding doors outside shops. You know what I mean? You go to Sainsbury's. The sliding doors. You know, if you just walk past, got no intention of going in, the doors remain shut, don't they? But the moment you walk towards and you want to kind of go in, discover more, the doors open wide to let you in. That's what parables do. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. Now, let me close by making three quick points by way of further application. There may be some of us here for whom the kingdom of God is a secret. In the sense that we just don't get this whole Christianity business. Might have even been coming along to church for a while, perhaps you're here for the first time. And you're just thinking, well, look, I just don't really get it. I don't really see the need for it. Well, we know about Jesus. We know him as a historical figure. But we don't really see what he's got to do with our lives. Perhaps it all seems a bit odd. Well, the two words for you to take away from this evening are the words why and explain. If we want to be good soil in this parable, it all begins with asking questions. I don't get that. Please, will you explain it to me? I'm in the dark. Often I have found people apologizing for asking questions, but it's a good thing to do. Actually, interestingly, most of the time people don't. But the people, they might be very confused. But if they're asking questions, why? I don't understand. Please explain it to me. Well, that is often a sign that they may be, well, end up as good soil. But then, second thing to learn is that we never take the L plates off. See, those of us who do not understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven need to be constantly growing in our understanding. And we will. That's the point. We will, as we keep listening to the message and keep asking Jesus to open our minds to his gospel. That's why I'm always so encouraged when I see people with pens and paper during the service taking notes. You don't have to do it. But it's a good sign when you see people with doing that, or when they have a Christian book on the go. Or actually, when you hear people kind of asking questions, I'm really grappling with this. I don't quite understand it. When you see people continuing to do that, that's always a healthy, healthy sign. We never take the L plates off. It's the people who hear the word and understand who yield a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what we're saying. And then finally, it is imperative that as a church and as individuals, we keep scattering the gospel seed, the gospel message. Because this is how the kingdom of God grows. Yes, there will be lots of waste in that sense. There will be many disappointments. And actually, if we didn't have this parable, we might well give up and get discouraged. And say, well, did that try? And look what happened. Look at that friend of mine. Look at all the time I invested in what happened. I'm not going to bother. But Jesus warned us that is sometimes the response. That's how his kingdom of God grows. It's like that. Don't be surprised. The Lord Jesus has told us that's the secret. He's given us the secret so that we might understand that's how his kingdom grows. That we might not be thrown, but that we might persevere in scattering the seed. And friends, we can't just do it from here. We all need to be involved, isn't it? As we engage people in conversations, as we invite them along to events, as we gossip the message. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing deficient about the gospel. And wherever it is sown in good soil, it always produces fruit. Let's pray. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this teaching of the Lord Jesus, helping us understand why he spoke in parables. Thank you for reminding us that it's your desire to bless us, that we might be fruitful, that there might be a harvest amongst your people, but that it comes when we hear and understand your word. Thank you that this promise that the more we understand and seek after your truth, the more we'll be given. There will be an abundance. And we therefore pray that you would indeed give us understanding and give us a hunger after your word to know you better, that we might be fruitful. And please, Lord, keep us from being discouraged as we are involved in this task which you started of scattering the good seed of the gospel, as we let people know the message about Jesus, the message of the kingdom. Please keep us faithful as a church in this. Help us not to get distracted nor discouraged. For we ask this in the Saviour's name. Amen.